Last week on the Feast of the Assumption, the Japanese nun who claimed to hear from the Virgin Mary in Japan many years ago under the title of Our Lady of Akita passed away. We're going to take a closer look today at the details of this apparition and all surrounding the nun's life and talk about what that means. I'm Eric Sims, your host, editor chief of Crisis Magazine. And before we get started, let's go ahead and just encourage people to smash that like button and subscribe to the channel. Also, you can let other people know about us. We'd really appreciate it. Follow us on social media at Crisis Mag. Go to our website, crisismagazine.com. Subscribe to our email newsletter. Just put your email in and we will send you our articles every morning. Okay, so I want to start off with the disclaimer. And that is, I am a natural skeptic. I admit it freely. I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm just saying this is who I am. I think there is a balance we should have between being too credulous, too much accepting of anything we hear and too skeptical. And I think the proper attitude to have is to be balanced, be right there in the middle, kind of not too accepting of everything, but not too skeptical of everything. I admit, if you look at that as a spectrum, I'm more on the skeptical side. I tend to not believe claims of the supernatural too quickly. Claims that can't be shown, proven, I tend to it's hard to convince me of them. So I admit that. I'm not saying that's necessarily a good attitude. Like I said, I think we should be in the middle. I'm not really in the middle. Now, regarding Marian apparitions and visions, I do accept the major ones, you know, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima. I think these really happened. I think they happened as we have been told they've happened. I think Our Lady really did appear to Juan Diego, to St. Bernadette, to the three children of Fatima. And so I definitely think these things occurred. This is probably going to people who are interested in Our Lady of Akita may or may not be happy with what I'm going to say next, but I do not believe Medjugorje is a legitimate apparition. Even though I do believe it has good fruit. I did an interview with somebody a couple years ago now on the podcast about this, kind of debunking the supernatural claims of Medjugorje. And I do think good fruit has come out of Medjugorje. In fact, I am part of that good fruit. I was Protestant, and it was through hearing a talk by a Protestant who had gone to Medjugorje, talking about Medjugorje, saying he's now becoming Catholic, that helped directly influence me to become Catholic. So I'm very thankful for that because I think God can work through just about anything. This is not a podcast about Medjugorje, obviously, but I kind of want to lay that out there. And you'll see here as I go on, maybe the reasons why I don't believe in Medjugorje, but I'm really going to talk about Our Lady of Akita. So, and here's another thing. I don't follow the latest apparitions. I just simply don't pay attention. I know there's websites that follow this. I know there's Catholics that follow this. You know, Our Lady appeared here, Our Lady appeared there. Somebody saw this vision, what have you. I'm not saying this to demean them because some of them might be true. But my attitude is simply, I'm going to stick, first of all, to public revelation first and foremost. I know with certainty that if I follow the teachings of the Catholic Church, if I follow public revelation as given to us through the sacred scriptures, through sacred tradition, as interpreted by the official magisterium of the church, that I will be saved. I know this. I know I can't go wrong if I do this. Private revelations, even including big ones like Fatima, Lourdes, Guadalupe, they are not necessary for salvation that we follow them. It is necessary for salvation we follow public revelation. Whereas I do think some private revelations like Guadalupe or Fatima, Lourdes, that they do help us. They do help us draw closer to God. And so they're good things. They are graces God is giving us. I also think that there is a danger that if we go kind of apparition hunting, apparition chasing, that we can go by the wayside, that we can really start to focus more on the spectacular rather than the mundane. If you're thinking about, if you're so consumed by this apparition said this out crazy thing that the world, this is going to happen in the world, and that's what you're focused on, I'm afraid what can happen is you begin to forget about just the mundane life of growing in holiness, of just every day praying every day, doing the dishes or changing the baby's diaper or going in and working in your cubicle, whatever the case may be, because you're thinking of the spectacular. And so what happens is some of the boring, quote unquote, aspects of the Catholic life become just that. They become boring. They become something that you don't really think about as much. You're too focused on when's the world going to end or something like that. So I come at this idea of Our Lady of Akita. I just want everybody to know kind of where I'm coming from with this, that I don't chase apparitions. I do think there's a danger in being too consumed by them. And generally I'm going to listen to the church when it comes to kind of officially what they say about this. And I'm going to stick to public revelation first and foremost. Okay. So that was 6 minutes of disclaimers. If you're still with me, hopefully you are. Let me now talk about Our Lady of Akita. So I recently became interested in this not too long ago. One way I did, I kind of heard of her in various ways, but there's a new book by Paul Kilgore, The Stigmatists. And I'm going to interview Paul in a couple weeks about this excellent book. But he talks about different stigmatists in the church, you know, Padre Pio, St. Catherine of Siena, people like that. And he mentions Sister Agnes Sasagawa. I want to make sure I know I pronounced names wrong, but it's Sasagawa. Sister Agnes Sasagawa, who I did not know, who is, who is a visionary of Our Lady of Akita. I did not know that she's actually was a stigmatist as well. I didn't know that until I read this book, to be honest. It shows I don't really follow these things that closely. But then I found, all of a sudden I heard last Thursday, Feast of the Assumption, that Sister Agnes died, that she passed away. And I will admit that the date of her death did pique my curiosity a bit more. Because I don't think there are coincidences in God's plan. I think what we call coincidences are actually part of divine providence. And the fact that this person who claimed to see, you know, talk to the Virgin Mary, hear from the Virgin Mary, I think the fact that she died on the Feast of the Assumption, yes, could that be a coincidence? Could that be random? Of course it could be. But it did kind of set off a flag in my mind of, oh, that's interesting. Because I think if you watch how God works in the world, I think these things sometimes happen like this. Like I do believe Donald Trump being shot on July 13th, anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima apparition message, I do think meant something. I have a whole podcast about that. You can listen to that as well. But I do think God works through these quote unquote coincidences. And so therefore that piqued my curiosity some more. So I was already looking into this, but then all of a sudden that was like, okay, I really want to look into this some more. So let me just go real quick for those who don't know what is Our Lady of Akita. So Sister Agnes Sasagawa, she was born in Japan in 1931, and she was born into a Buddhist family. She had a lot of health problems, including deafness. I think she was deaf in one ear for a while, then both ears. So she was deaf. This also, just to kind of reveal something about this, is that when I'm looking at an apparition, a vision, or stigmatist, whatever, all these claims, one of the things I look at is the person, the visionary. And the more to put it bluntly, the more they have personal suffering, the more I'm apt to believe that they're legit. Because I think if you look at how God works, I mean, he did not spare his son from personal suffering. He did not spare the apostles from personal suffering. And if you look at the lives of the saints, he never spares them from personal suffering. And so you see that, and if you look at the great visionaries, Saint Bernadette, people like that, they go through suffering. It's Padre Pio. They go through intense suffering. St. Catherine of Siena, St. Francis of Assisi. I mean, the list can go on and on. And so I think this really did make me think, okay, this is getting, the pieces are coming into place, so to speak. So Sister Agnes, she converted Catholicism and she joined the Institute of the Handmaids of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. That's a mouthful, so they call them Handmaids of the Eucharist, which I'm happy they do that because that is a mouthful for the whole name. And so she was a sister, part of this convent in Akita, Japan, which is kind of a remote area of Japan. It's north on the west coast. I don't know what they call it there, but the west coast. It's not really a hub of activity or anything like that. And that's another little sign. God also often works outside the beaten path. And so in 1973, though, this is when something happened, or claims of something happened. So on June 12th, 1973, Sister Agnes was praying at her convent in front of the tabernacle and saw brilliant rays of light coming from the tabernacle. And then on June 28th, 1973, so just a couple weeks later, she received the stigmata on her left hand. Now, real quick about the stigmata, I feel like I'm an expert after reading this book by Paul Kilgore, but you'll be an expert after I interview him, and you will get the book too. The stigmata, we think of, when we think of stigmata, the first thing we think of, most of us, St. Francis of Assisi and Padre Pio. And in both cases, they had visible stigmata marks, wounds, on both their hands, on their side, and on their feet. That's kind of traditional stigmata. However, it's not true that every person who's received the stigmata, this is how it's done. St. Catherine of Siena, for example, one of the greatest saints, by the way, in the history of the church. I mean, I put her, I don't want to say top 10 because I haven't thought it out, but she's right up there. I mean, she is one of the greats, a giant. She had the stigmata, but it wasn't visible. The Lord was going to give her the stigmata, and she asked him, she begged the Lord, don't make it visible, out of humility. She didn't want other people to see it. And so she did not receive it visibly, but she did have it. And I think, if I remember correctly, the story, I might butcher this. I'm pretty sure at the end of her life, it did appear at some point so others could see it, so they knew she was, you know, telling the truth and stuff to confirm it. And Padre Pio, for example, he had the stigmata his whole life, but it actually went away right before he died. And so if you look at his body now, he doesn't have any visible signs of it. Another sign of divine intervention. But there's other stigmatists who don't always receive it everywhere, like on both hands, both feet. They don't necessarily see it visibly or not. She received it on her left hand. Sister Agnes received it on her left hand. And it was bleeding. So this is June 28th, 1973. Well, just about a week later, on July 6th, 1973, she's praying. And she's praying in front of, oh, I forgot to bring up the pictures here. I can do this here. She's praying in front of a statue of Our Lady, which we now call Our Lady of Akita. And I just put up the statue here, a picture of it here on the screen. And so she's praying, and the statue speaks to her. She actually, the statue actually starts speaking. This is very similar to St. Francis of Assisi when he hears San Damiano cross, Christ speaking to him through that. In this case, Our Lady speaks to Sister Agnes from this statue. And what happens is, what we're going to see is she speaks to Sister Agnes three times in 1973. We'll go through the messages here in a second. But in general, the messages are very similar in that they are predicting future calamities in the world, terrible things that are going to happen. She's begging people to pray the rosary, pray for peace, pray in penance, do penance. And also, this is very interesting. She always tells Sister Agnes, or Lady does, she tells her, tell your superior and be obedient to him. I think that's a clear, what's the opposite of a red flag? A green flag? A clear green flag of legitimacy when Our Lady's telling a sister, obey your superior. Tell your superior everything I tell you. We're not hiding things. We're not disobeying our superiors. We're telling them. And so on July 6th, she speaks to Sister Agnes. And her message, I'm not going to read it all, but part of her message, I'll pull it up here. And part of it says, my daughter, my novice, you have obeyed me well in abandoning all to follow me. Is the infirmity of your ears painful? Your deafness will be healed for sure. Be sure. Note that Sister Agnes is deaf at this point, and yet Our Lady is speaking to her and she can hear him. But she's also saying, your deafness will be healed. Our Lady continues, be patient. This is the last test. Does the wound of your hand cause you to suffer? Pray in reparation for the sins of men. So she's referring to the stigmata that she's having. Oh, and by the way, I can't believe I forgot to say this. Sister Agnes notices that the statue is bleeding from one hand as well. just like Sister Agnes is. So the statue itself is bleeding. Not only is it speaking, but it's bleeding from one of the hands. Then Our Lady continues, pray very much for the Pope, bishops, and priests. Since your baptism, you've always prayed faithfully for them. Continue to pray very much, very much. Tell your superior all that passed today and obey him and everything that he will tell you. So I think there's some, this is some basic message here, but it's important. Pray for the Pope, bishops, and priests. Tell your superior. Continue to pray very much. Pray in reparation for the sins of men. This is the message Our Lady is telling Sister on July 6th. Then a month later, August 3rd, Our Lady in the statue again speaks to Sister Agnes. Here's part of what she says. Many men in this world afflict the Lord. I desire souls to console him, to soften the anger of the Heavenly Father. I wish with my son for souls who repair by their suffering and their poverty for the sinners and ingrates. Prayer, penance, and courageous sacrifices can soften the Father's anger. You must be fastened to the cross with three nails. These three nails are poverty, chastity, and obedience. Remember, she's a consecrated sister. Poverty, chastity, and obedience. Of the three, obedience is the foundation. In total abandon, let yourself be led by your superior. So what we see here is that Our Lady is saying prayer, penance, sacrifices. Again, pray for souls. Pray for them. Obey your superior. Be obedient. I think this is, again, the message of Our Lady. Now, her final appearance. So she appears three times. When I say appear, I'm really saying she's speaking through the statue. To my knowledge, Sister Agnes has not claimed to see the Virgin Mary in some way, but instead, maybe she privately or something, but not in these messages. It's more the statue speaking. So October 13th, 1973, her final message. Note the date, October 13th. That's the date of the last apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. And really, if you look at the messages of Our Lady of Akita and the message of Our Lady of Fatima, it's a continuation. It very much is in keeping with what Our Lady said at Fatima. This is another good sign for Our Lady of Akita, the legitimacy of it, that it's not saying something new. It's really just continuing to say what Our Lady said at Fatima. So October 13th, again, no coincidences that this is the date. Here is the one that most people know about, and it says a lot, and I just have some of it up here. I'll read some of it here. If men do not repent and better themselves, the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all humanity. It will be a punishment greater than the deluge, such as one will never seen before. Fire will fall from the sky and wipe out a great part of humanity, the good as well as the bad, sparing neither priests nor faithful. Every day, recite the prayers of the rosary. With the rosary, pray for the Pope, the bishops, and priests. The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way that one will see cardinals opposing cardinals, bishops against bishops. The priests who venerate me will be scorned and opposed by the conferees. Churches and altars sacked. The church will be full of those who accept compromises, and the demon will press many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord. This is 1973. Can anybody really honestly say this isn't a description of today's church? Cardinal against cardinals, bishops against bishops, priests who venerate me will be scorned and opposed. The church will be full of those who accept compromises. I mean, good Lord, that is a description of today's church. The church will be full of those who accept compromises. And the demon will press many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord. We've seen so many priests and consecrated souls leave the religious life in the past, since, you know, even before 1973, but continuing on since then. And so what we see is this message that we see from Our Lady on October 13th, it really is a continuation of Fatima, and it really has, I would say, two major parts. One is really bad things are going to happen to the world because of our sins. That's clear. It's because of our sins. And we must pray and do penance to mitigate those things from happening. Perhaps prevent them, but more likely mitigate them, to at least save some souls. That's the message. And that really was the message of Fatima as well. And the statue, now after October 13th, 1973, there was no more messages, but the statue of Our Lady, the one I showed before, let me put it up here, the statue of Our Lady continued to weep, to bleed, to sweat, I believe. In fact, on 101 reported occasions, the statue wept. And here's the amazing thing. A Japanese broadcast television station actually caught it live. They were recording when the statue started to weep. And so it's very hard to just say this is some fraud. It's very difficult to say this at this point. Furthermore, Sister Agnes was healed of her deafness. Our Lady promised it in the July 6th message, and sure enough, it happened. Her deafness was healed. And so, but like I said, for years, until I think 1981, so between 1975, 73, 1981, the statue continued to weep. I think it shed blood on multiple occasions. It showed sweat as well. So obviously this is a big deal. So what was the church's reaction? The local bishop, Bishop Ito, he did an 8-year investigation. I mean, that's a serious investigation. 8 years he investigated this phenomenon from 1976, I believe, to 1984. And then he made a declaration where he basically said that it was of supernatural origin, it didn't contradict Catholic doctrine in any way, and it was worthy of veneration. That's a major step. I mean, because you need the local bishop's approval, really, in the way these things work. And the local bishop basically said, yes, I believe this is of supernatural origin. Now, that does not mean that it is approved in the entire universal church. It doesn't mean we can't believe it. It just means that this is a local approval worthy of veneration. But obviously, the Vatican has the last say in whether or not it can be considered a universal one. Now, the Vatican has not done an investigation. However, the CDF under Cardinal Ratzinger in the 1980s did not oppose the bishop's declaration that this was legitimate. So in no way did the Vatican step in, and trust me, they would if they thought it was important, under Ratzinger particularly. They never stepped in and say, no, this is not legitimate. Now, I will say later, I think maybe in the 1990s, an Archbishop of Tokyo, which is not the local ordinary, he did basically downplay it. He basically said, the message of Akito doesn't matter anymore. You know, we can ignore it. But that's just his opinion. It has no magisterial, no authority behind it. He's not the local ordinary. He's not the head of the CDF at the Vatican or what's now the GDF. He's not the Pope or anything like that. And he's just expressing opinion. He did no investigation, to my knowledge, of what happened. He's simply just stating this is, he didn't think it was that important. Okay, fine, you can state that, but it means, you know, it doesn't really mean anything. I could state anything I want. It means no more than what the Archbishop of Tokyo has to say about it. Now, I will say there is one kind of coda in all this. In October of 2019, there were reports that Our Lady gave Sister Agnes another message. Now, remember, she'd given her three messages in 1973 and then nothing else. Another thing I want to note before I talk about the message of October 2019 is Sister Agnes did not go on a speaking tour. She did not. She has remained in the convent. She basically has not done anything to promote herself or even, to my knowledge, promote this apparition. I call it an apparition, but it's kind of weird because it was the you know, the statue speaking. I guess that's an apparition in a way. But it's not like she, you know, she continued to just live as a nun. And so I think that's something important to remember. Now, I will say the October 2019 message, I could not confirm it as authentic. I could not find anywhere where it said this has definitely happened. But there were people reporting, you know, respectable people reporting that she received a message. And in it, basically, Our Lady said to cover yourself in ashes, which means do acts of penance, reparation for the sins of the world. Please pray. And also, she said, please pray the penitential rosary every day, personal conversion, by daily examination of conscience and by frequent confession. So it was a basic message, but it was very much independence and, you know, reparation. Now, note the timing. This apparition came, I mean, this message, I should say, came in October 2019. What else happened in October 2019? I'll wait. I hear it from everybody. Pachamama happened. I know that's what you're all thinking. In fact, it happened, I think, 2 days before the message that supposedly Sister Agnes received. And what happened a few months after October 2019? Again, I'll wait. Again, I hear everybody yelling. COVID happened. And so I think if this message in October 2019 is authentic, it really is fitting, because it's Our Lady saying we need to do lots of reparation for the sins of mankind. We need to do reparation because we have so many souls being lost. Now, I will say, I don't think you can judge because the October 2019 message has not been officially authenticated, we should not make that make too much of that. But it does fit in what Our Lady was saying in 1973. Now, like I said, I do think that we should have skepticism towards claims of the supernatural. It's very easy to claim things. It's much harder to actually prove them and that they're authentic. However, what we see here with Our Lady of Akita is really something that is very consistent with the gospel. It's consistent with church teaching. And it really is, there's nothing doctrinally weird about it. There's no statements where you're like, huh, that seems a little bit odd. And here's, I think, a very important thing. There's the obvious personal holiness of the visionary and her sufferings that she went through with the stigmata and other things. And I think that's a big part of it, because if you really are told something by Our Lady or by our Lord, or by the saints, you really have these visions, how could your life not change? Like, I know that sometimes our Lord and our Lady talk to people who are not necessarily always, completely on board with the church, whatever. Usually they do, but not always. But usually your life is going to be changed and you're going to live a life of humility, a life of penance. You're going to follow the message that Our Lady said yourself. That's key. Because if you talk about penance and prayer, but you don't, as a visionary, you say Our Lady said we need to pray and do penance, but you don't actually do it yourself, I have a hard time believing you really saw Our Lady. Because if you really saw Our Lady telling you this and you didn't follow the directions, yikes, I feel, kind of bad for you. So I do think that ultimately, I think what everybody kind of already knows by listening to this podcast, I do think this is legitimate. I think it's a legitimate apparition or appearance, whatever you want to call it, of Our Lady. I think Our Lady Akita is something we should consider legitimate. Now, be clear, it's the church's decision. The church is the final authority. We so far have an approval from the local diocesan bishop. I think he's passed away now, but local diocesan bishop did an 8-year investigation and approved it. I do think the Vatican was waiting for the visionary to die, Sister Agnes, before they're going to make any official declaration, because you never know. Maybe she goes off the reservation and all of a sudden she says, like 30 years later, oh no, actually, I didn't see that. Or she's something else crazy like that. That's why you kind of wait. That's another reason. So like you can kind of tell why I'm skeptical of Medjugorje. First of all, the visionaries aren't dead yet, and so you never know. Also, there's been some doctrinally weird things they've said that they claimed Our Lady said. And frankly, they don't live lives of penance and suffering like most of these visionaries do. So I really do think that Our Lady of Akita is legitimate. Now, here's something I want to emphasize, kind of end it with this. So again, listen to the church. The church will make the final declaration on this. Also, always focus mostly on public revelation, not private revelations. That should be your focus. Revelation is given to us in the scriptures and tradition as interpreted by the magisterium of the church. That all being said, I do think that we can learn a lot and it can help us. If Our Lady continues to say at Fatima, at Akita, things like we need to pray and do penance, maybe we need to do that. One of the things I know people focus on with these is they focus on the calamities, the visions of terrible things. We can get a little bit too fixated on that, I think. Like, oh, the world's going to end, there'll be fire in the sky. I'm not saying we dismiss that because Our Lady said it, so it's obviously important. But I think that is saying what God is going to do. I think what we need to focus on mostly is what Our Lady says we need to do. What we need to do. Instead of being too hung up on what God's going to do, I mean, that's important to know, but we need to be, that should inspire us to what we need to do, and that's prayer and penance. And really the three things that Our Lady says is pray the at Akita, pray the rosary, do penance, and stay close to the Eucharist. Those are kind of the three main things. Pray the rosary, do penance, and stick close to the Eucharist. That's pretty good advice, isn't it, for all of us? So I think we know the world is getting worse in a lot of ways. We know a lot of bad things are happening. We don't know if in our lifetime something horrible is going to happen, like fire from the sky that's going to, you know, wipe out a lot of the earth, or something else terrible like that. I do think we have to be careful not to take these visions, apocalyptic visions, too literally. What I mean by that is, look at the book of Revelation, the apocalypse. Those visions that John the Evangelist saw weren't exactly, he described them the best he could in human terms, but they weren't like a newspaper report of what happened. They're more like they represent things. And I think the same thing is probably true of these visions, these things that Our Lady says about fire and sky and something like that. We don't know exactly what that means. Does that mean nuclear holocaust? Does that mean literally God, bringing fire down? All these things are possible. Does it mean something else, like metaphorically? I don't know. And you don't know. Again, that's why we shouldn't focus on the details of what God's going to do. Just know that the world is in bad shape and we're rejecting God. And we can't go on like this. So we have to do reparation for the sins of others, for our own sins, for the sins of others. I think that's what we really need to focus on when it comes to the message of Our Lady Akita. And so I think this is a legitimate event. I really do think Our Lady spoke to Sister Agnes through the statue. I think the messages are things that we should take to heart and we should follow. Okay, let me look at real quick at some of the comments. I appreciate everybody in the live chat who are following. Let me pull this one up. August V123, for a future podcast, can you do a dialogue with Steve Ray on Israel? I like you both, and you guys have different opinions re Israel. Somebody emailed me with that. Maybe it was you who emailed me that. It's not a bad idea. I wouldn't mind doing that. I just think there'll be a lot of research involved on both our ends to do that. Steve is a great guy. This person probably saw us on Twitter. We were debating it. We have different views on the modern state of Israel, but we have high respect for each other. I think Steve's great. So I will consider. I'm not dismissing this. I will consider. I just know I would have to fit my schedule to really do the research to be able to speak on it in a whole kind of discussion, dialogue, debate format with Steve. I thought it was her angel in 2019. What I read was another message. I'm not sure how she received it, but it was a message in October 2019, Sister Agnes did. Another one is female KC Royals fan from Nebraska. Okay, I'm a Reds fan, but I'll accept the question because the Royals just crushed the Reds this past weekend, but I'll allow it. We should not trust Fernandez. That's who's in charge of approving operations. Okay, I get that. And I'm not saying Cardinal Fernandez obviously is not somebody we should trust. However, I don't think necessarily, I think we just wait and see. Let's just wait and see. I don't think we should be too quick to just say, okay, he's going to somehow shoot it down or something like that. The truth is, by the time this actually happens, he might not be in the office anymore because these things take time. So, but I respect the idea that you have a healthy skepticism about Cardinal Fernandez. Let's be honest. Okay, again, August TV 123. I know some folks that are really over fixated on private revelation signs, et cetera. I agree with you, it's not good for them. Yeah, I think that's the key. I think we have to have a balanced life, spiritual life. I would say you kind of should do almost the 99-to-1 rule. There's the 80-20 rule, the 99-to-1 rule. 99% of your time should be focused, spiritual life should be focused on public revelation, following the gospels, doing works of mercy, praying the rosary, things like that. And maybe 1%, you're looking into these visions, stuff like that. Because it's not that it's not important. If Our Lady comes, it's important. But the fact is, what she's pointing us to is the public revelation. The reason she's coming isn't to add new revelation. We've got to remember this, we're not Mormons. She's not adding new revelation. The reason she's coming is to point us to what our Lord has already said, what our Lord has already given us. That's what she's pointing to. She's just trying to, like a good mom. What mom tells their kid something once and then never mentions it again? Of course, a good mom lovingly reminds her kids, okay, do this. Make sure you do this. Don't forget to do this. That's what good moms do. We have the best mom, our Blessed Mother, and she's just reminding us, please, pray, do penance, stay close to the Eucharist, go to confession. I think if we do that, we're in good shape. I mean, personally, at least, obviously, and we want to do it for others so others might live a life of holiness as well. So, okay, I'm gonna stop it there. I appreciate people in the live chat again who participated, and just I just want to say, Our Lady of Akita, pray for us. And until next time, Rabbi, God love you.